Goodness is stronger, stronger than evil. Love is stronger, stronger than hate. Light is stronger, stronger than darkness. Life is stronger, stronger than death.
A reading from the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and our own languages, and we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
On this feast of Pentecost, the feast day, we remember the gift of the Spirit to the church. I want to say a word about tennis. I'll explain why in a minute. I've always been an avid tennis player and a tennis fan. And what I can tell you is this, is that the most significant period in the history of tennis is a period that started around 2002 and is somewhat still ongoing. The reason I say somewhat still ongoing is that Federer has retired, Nadal is coming near the end, Djokovic is still playing. But what happened in this two-decade period is that these three great players and a few others established a whole new standard for the tennis world. And they did it in two ways. One, their level of play, which everyone aspires to. But I think even more significantly, they, especially Nadal and Federer, Djokovic is a little more fiery, a little more problematic in this regard, but Federer and Nadal set this standard for behavior that dominates the sport, a sport that had bad actors like McEnroe and Nastasi and others. Sometimes you go and watch them and you think, oh, come on, just play the game. These guys set a standard that everyone then lived by. What you became aware of is that players were going to be ashamed if they didn't live under those standards, and especially if they were playing Federer and Nadal. They wouldn't dare disrespect them. I think what will happen with this period of tennis is in years to come, people will always be referring back to this and saying, you know, how do we recapture that, make sure we live grounded in that moving forward? Well, the reason I mention this story is this is exactly why the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or as the Greek says, just Acts, praxis. This is why this book was written. Acts is both the Gospel of Luke and Acts. They're one book divided into two volumes. And I'm in agreement with those commentators who write this. This is Will Willimon in his commentary. He says, we asserted earlier in this commentary that Acts was probably written for insiders, namely Christians, who were struggling to retain the boldness, faith, and confidence in the face of a new internal or external struggles. It was written to retain the boldness, faith, and confidence, that is, of the earliest church, for people later on who were losing that. So you're a Christian and you're living in 75 AD AD. The church has been in existence for 50 years or so. That moment that the Holy Spirit did a powerful thing to empower a community. You're living 50 years later, and what's happened is you are running out of juice. You're losing your mojo. You know, you've been trying to live this Christian life, and both the resistance of the world around you, but perhaps even more, the resistance of the world within your community. All this is beginning to wear you down. You're, as Paul would say, losing heart. So what the author of Acts does, if we buy this thesis as to why it was written, is he says to a church that is losing its juice, let me remind you of what happened in the beginning. He then tells a story that certainly has history in it of what actually happened, but more importantly, tells a story that he thinks will be compelling as to why this whole movement should even exist. And he takes them back to the beginning, to that first Pentecost. You've got disciples who are afraid. They have blown it big time. They let Jesus down. They would be the last groups of people to believe that God could do anything with them. Peter had denied him. Judas had betrayed him. Judas, of course, already dead. The others ran away. They deserted him. That bunch wouldn't be sitting there thinking, yeah, you know, we're going to be the leaders of the movement. And what the story says is that God acted and poured into them this spirit, these flames, this fire. And then you know what happened? A group of disciples that had no voice were given the voice to go out and transform the world. Acts was written to encourage those who'd lost their courage. Acts was written to make bold those who were no longer bold. And this is what you'll see in every page of Acts. It's just one more story after another about how these founders, this golden age of the church, is made up of people who are doing things they never thought they would do. And Acts ends with Paul in prison. And you think, okay, Paul's in prison at the end. He must be discouraged. No, you know what it says? He was preaching about the kingdom of God, bold and unhindered. He was free. Christians in the first century get this book, this gospel, to inspire them. And you and I, a couple thousand years later, read this book to inspire us. Because let's face it, you and I are living in an age of the church in this country and elsewhere in this world where the church is discouraged. The church is afraid. The church is not very bold. In fact, if you were at a church in this diocese, many of you, of course, are here at St. Timothy's, but if you were any other church in this diocese, you would find that many churches are wondering, are we going to exist in a few years? Churches have closed. Churches have had to reconfigure in dramatic ways. Churches have few resources. And churches are wondering, do we really matter anymore? There was a time in the life of this country where the church had some stature. That is gone. When I go to meetings in public spaces, nobody goes, oh, wow, there's Roger Green. He's a priest. In fact, some go, oh, my God, it's a priest. So we gather Pentecost 2024. And what this passage has to offer to us is the answer to a church that is not very bold, a church that is discouraged, a church that is wondering whether it can do anything. I'm not just referring to St. Timothy, I'm referring to all churches. And what we're told is that if we will be open to this Spirit of God that was poured out on those first knuckleheads, that a church that is not very bold now, a church that is wondering, I don't know, maybe we're just eventually going to die out, that church has a future, that the Holy Spirit can do within us more than we ever dream or imagine, and that we can be like deniers and betrayers who suddenly go out and change the world. That is the good news of Pentecost. The good news of Pentecost is that this movement is totally reliant on the Spirit of God. And if we are sitting back just trying to figure out some scheme of how to grow the church, we're going down the wrong road. And you and I know this. Because you know what's happened in this community? Is after watching a generation die, I came here in 93, that generation is gone. And after watching many of the people that we have been companions with move on, some have moved on to other parts of the country, some have moved on to other churches, some we don't know what happened to them. They probably just got bored or wondered, maybe God just doesn't matter anymore. They got discouraged. They lost heart, maybe. What we already know is that the Spirit of God is giving birth to something new here. I am so convinced of this. If you ever want to come and chat with me about this, I'd love to tell you more. Because what God is doing by the power of the Spirit, this was not some ingenious plan that I had or the wardens had or the vestry had. God is giving birth out of that old that has died, which served us well in so many ways, something new that is part of God's mission now. This is not the result of some scheme for gaining new members. It's the result of listening to the Spirit of God and following it. You know, I've been looking back at the whole history of this congregation, at least in the years I know it. And every significant development, new direction, came out of nowhere. It didn't come because a group of people sat down and said, okay, let's get a vision for St. Timothy's. No. What happened was one day we got a call from someone connected with El Hogar, and they said, can we come make a presentation? That came out of nowhere. And then David Windsor comes and talks about El Hogar, and then boom, a whole avenue of ministry develops. And not only just something that we're a part of, but we got the whole area of Cincinnati involved. One day there was nothing, and then something new was born. And it's still growing and developing. Our involvement with the prison ministry now came out of nowhere. One day John Rudolph came to me and said, I'm doing some prison work, didn't anybody wants to? Boom. The Spirit raised up, gosh, about 20 people. If you look at our involvement in the past with the Interfaith Hospitality Network, with ASP, all of those things came out of nowhere. Doesn't mean they all live forever, no. Ministries are born, God enlists us, and then sometimes God says, you know, that one's going to die out because we're going on to some other territory. All of this was made possible because the Spirit was poured out on us. Poured out on us in our baptism, poured out on us as we gather around communion table every Sunday, and the Spirit of God speaks through that bread and that wine. Poured out on us by the love we share with one another, poured out on us when we read Holy Scripture. What the author of Acts is saying is that the story he, she is going to tell about the early church is one that started not because one of those bumbling disciples got up one day and said, oh, you know, let's go give it a shot. They were out of commission, and then things changed. Then things changed. That's the story of our life, isn't it? Sometimes we're down and discouraged. Sometimes we have no idea where anything is going, and then the Spirit comes and things change. Today, let us celebrate that we have been given this Spirit that gives us voice, that takes us out into the world to proclaim the good news of God, that takes us out in the world to embody the life of Christ in our life, that has empowered us to be part of a mission that is helping God make the kind of world where everyone will have a place. That doesn't happen because one day Roger Green or Alice Connor or the wardens or the vestry or anybody else sat down and had a nice idea. You only get to that point because the Spirit of God sort of grabs you by the back of the neck and says, this is where we're going. And then you go from being afraid, timid, dejected, depressed, to being a little bit more like that early bunch who, as Paul says, were bold and unhindered. Alleluia for that.
An Echo from the Well is a production from St. Timothy's Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. If you would like to find out more, visit us on social media at St. Tim Cincy or find us online at sttimothys.com.